Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Macedonian Call around the globe coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. And we just want to praise the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are so happy to come to you tonight in this live broadcast. Here on January the 24th of 2014, today makes 1 year. We're giving God all the glory, all the praise that this broadcast has been going on every Friday night. And we just thank the Lord for this avenue to be able to reach across the entire globe of this world. Praise the Lord and sharing the gospel with you. And if you want to be a part of this broadcast, it is 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And if you want to reach us by email, heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. We have a lot of prayer requests tonight. Before we get started with that, I want to give God praise. He has healed my body after a little over a month. I've been really coughing and sore throat and bronchitis, and Lord knows all about it, and I just give Him the glory for all that, for healing me. Lisa Warnock, she says she has decisions to be made. She wants prayer. Martha Hawkins, she said, please remember her family and her. Shannon Millette Burgess, she says, please, an unspoken request. Amanda Howard, she says, remember her brother. John and Janine Ward says, remember little Faith, a total healing. Brother Tim Hall says, pray for Frida and him. We need physical touches and we need a financial miracle. We have been off the road since November 24th, and we also need a financial blessing to finish their house. Praise God. Also, Colleen Whittle says to remember, there was an urgent prayer request at that moment. We did pray, but we want everyone to continue to pray. There was an emergency in the family. She couldn't explain all about it, but sure could use the prayers. So Billy Neal says pray for her father-in-law, Paul Neal. And Sherry Wiseman says pray for her mom, Bessie, and the Lord will work things out for her. He knows. Sherry Wiseman says, remember Shirley Turner for strength in her legs and body. Lynette and she gives the letter S, and Trish Davis, that have been bad sick. Also, Becky Fritz says, remember her. Emma Henderson said, remember her family. Samantha Peters says, please put out a prayer list, put me on the prayer list to help with this virus to pass very soon. It's been going on 3 days now and getting worse. I just pray for relief. Tina Summers says, pray for Ashley and her baby girl. Praise God. So we're going to remember all those requests as they come in through the broadcast. It is a two-hour-long broadcast, and we have preaching, singing, and again, the subject tonight, I don't know if I've said it already, but we'll say it now. It's on Faint Not. So we're going to go from Galatians chapter 29, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 6, Galatians 6. Verses 8 and 9, but I want the preachers just to obey God however the Lord leads them. That's how we like to do it. We believe in salvation and sanctification and the Holy Ghost baptism and speaking in tongues and Holy Ghost and fire. Praise the Lord. So we're going to have 760 come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Is that maybe
706-975.
Man, you blew that one. Good one, Sister Green. It's Freya Litchfield in Tolleston, Georgia.
Well, praise the Lord, Sister. Well, praise God, Sister Freya. Good to have you on here, and we'll get you here first here in just a moment. We're going to get the other callers to let us know who they are and where they're located. And we'll have little Rachel, she'll read her scripture, and 770-584, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen. 661, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Sister Gladys from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise the Lord, Sister Gladys. Good to have you all here, and we're just thanking the Lord for you. And some of you come in just a little bit after I had said this makes 1 year anniversary for the Macedonian call, and we are just rejoicing and praising God, and expecting some more callers to call in tonight. That if they get good signal there in Kentucky, they're kind of in the mountains. Brother Tim Hall, praise the Lord. Going to try, and Brother Yearwood called, and he said that they will get on, but just a little later, so they'll be with us too tonight, and I'm just excited, so happy, and you know, this broadcast tonight is about Faint Not, and the Macedonian call, I tell you, it's worth it. Pastor John, you are a pastor, and you are in with your congregation. Every time your doors open, unless there's an emergency in your family, it is a dedication. We are not to faint. And you've stuck with us this whole year. And praise the Lord, Sister Frida, you've been right there when you can. And Sister Gladys, you've just come on board with us here about maybe 2 months ago. And I just thank God for the increase in this. And, you know, never have I been discouraged about doing this. And I thank the Lord, it's Him giving us the strength. We're not to faint in this. Praise the Lord. And Sister Rachel's going to come to you with her scripture.
Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Hallelujah. Amen. And Sister Frida, we're going to let you come in and give us your scripture, sis, and just obey God.
Well, can I do a prayer request first before we get started?
Absolutely.
One of my cousins had a death his wife had a death in her family, and they're up in Athens, Tennessee. So let's remember them in prayer tonight for the funeral. And they said they want all the prayers they can get because they don't know what's going through.
Okay,
amen. I'm believing the Lord to tell me where to go first. All right, I'm going to go first with Romans 6 and 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And then I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 10. Oh, yeah. There we are. Okay. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And the other one is Revelation 1:18. There we go. And that one is, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You know, it don't seem like it's been over a month since Mom passed away, but I know, and I keep telling everybody, and they keep telling me, I said, I don't want her to come back. But you know, the Lord's got the keys to hell. I know my mom's not there. She's up in heaven rejoicing and have a blessed time. But you know, we have to get all of our own self. I know I keep saying this, but you know, we have to be in the Spirit. If we're not in the Spirit, the Lord's not with us. If we're in self, we cause more problems to come to us, and we have to go with the circumstances. And I thank the Lord that he has blessed me, that I am always, like I said, I let him direct me, guide me, and tell me what to do, where to go, and what to say. And then I don't have no problems when I do what he tells me to do, not what I want to do. Back to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And glad to have you, Sister Frieda. Just hang in there. Again, if you want to be part of this broadcast, this is Sister Green coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. Our phone number, you can call in at 347-989-8862 at any time during this broadcast. And if you have a testimony you'd like to share, maybe a prayer request, and you just want to share what the Lord has done for you, you're more than welcome to come on here and be with us. And if you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it's heisrisen38@aol.com. And Pastor John, we're going to have you come on in, brother, and just obey the Lord.
Appreciate the opportunity, Sister Green, brother, Sister Green, and all those. It is a great. I remember a year ago when we first came on, and it's been such a great privilege, amen, and an honor to be with all of you and being with you and Brother Sister Green and have an opportunity and for you to give me this privilege, amen, to just spread the gospel. You know, just like I told the church there the other day, you know, true believer, when they preach the gospel, and amen, they only have good news to bring. And tonight we only have good news to bring to you, amen. We only have a good report. The Bible says, amen, that the elders received a good report by faith. You know, the scriptures teach us by the prophet Isaiah, amen. It says, who hath believed the arm of the Lord? Who hath believed the Lord's report? God has revealed himself, and amen, he's revealed, amen, not only in this last year, but he's revealed unto us down through the ages. And I just praise the Lord for what he's doing and what he's going to do. And I know that this is our foundational verse tonight, but God, I started to go in another place, but God started giving me something out of Galatians chapter 6, so I hope I don't override anybody or step on anything or try to do anything, because that's not my feeling. But as Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, and the believers in Galatia, he starts out here in verse 1 in chapter 6, and amen, he says, brethren, if a man, here he's talking to believers, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, in other words, in a transgression, in a rebellion, ye which are spiritual, ye that have responded to the Spirit, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, he begins to speak, he begins to give counsel to those that are Galatians. He tells them, these believers, that those of you that if a man be overtaken in a transgression, if a man be overtaken in his rebellion, and his walk against the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, those of you that are spiritual, those of you that have responded to the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. It speaks also in John chapter 1. It talks about, to as many as believe on his name, give he the power to become the sons of God. And this is not male or female. This is children of God is what he's speaking of. And then it goes on a little bit later on in the chapter in Romans chapter 8, and he says, and wait for the manifestations of the sons of God. Tonight we're looking for the manifestations of the sons of God, amen, of the children of God, the sons and the daughters of God as they come. He said, those of you, there's a ministry of reconciliation. There's a ministry of restoration. And he said, consider yourself in the spirit of meekness. Now, you know, the Bible says, it talks about Moses, how he was meek, and how even there would be a prophet, that would rise up likened unto him in meekness. This meekness, this one who is meek, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30, I believe it is, it says, amen, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, there is a rest wherein there is the rest, according to Isaiah 28, and that rest is in Jesus Christ, and that rest is from weariness, amen, and just fainting and falling away. But tonight, amen, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. There's a restoration, amen, in the meekness. There's restoration in the humility. And I want to say this, you know, it talks about, amen, where he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and observed, and maybe, amen, I really feel something here, maybe even some words, some prophetic word to some of you that are ministering tonight, like Brother and Sister Green. Sister Gladys, I feel some word for you, amen, and even you, Sister Frieda. There's just some things tonight that, you know, it talks about the spirit of meekness. You know, it talks about, amen, that I really believe tonight, you know, that you know, I'm liking it, and I know this is sort of getting off, but it's not getting off because it, the Spirit of the Lord, we're being led by the Spirit, but I really feel this. To speak to you, Sister Glass, and Brother Sister Green, and Sister Frieda, and you ministers, not only you ministers, but those of you that have been ministering, amen. And this is really what this chapter is speaking to those who have labored, those that have put their hands to the plow and not looking back, amen. The Bible teaches in the book of Luke, amen, that no man is fit for the kingdom. If we, you know, if we put our hands to the plow and looking back, we're not fit for the kingdom, amen. We're not worthy of the kingdom, amen. And Sister Glass, and not only you, but Brother and Sister Green, I feel like, just like, and Sister Frieda, like it, all of you liken it to an Esther, amen. And, you know, the Bible says, amen, it talks about that, you know, Vashti this is a prophetic word to you. And Vashti was called by King Ahasuerus to come forth, and, amen, when she was bidden by the king, she had made a decision not to come forth. And, you know, there's many times, amen, that people, amen, make a decision not to come forth when they're bidden by the king and King Jesus. Amen. But those of you underneath the sound of my voice, you have chosen to come to the bidding of the king, of your Lord and your Savior. Amen. And as they come to the bidding of the king, amen, hallelujah, what they had to do was, amen, that they had to restore the kingdom, and they had to restore the queen. And so all the virgins of the kingdom come, amen. And as they come, amen, one of those virgins was Esther, amen, a Jewess. Amen, hallelujah, she had come, and amen, when she come, amen, among those who were available, amen, and there and come into the kingdom. And as they come into the kingdom, she had come into Haggai, the chamberlain, amen, and amen. It was a time, and I know, Sister Glass, you went through some hard times, and Brother Sister Green, I know you went through some hard times and trials, and Sister Frieda through some hard times. Not only those of you in the ministry, and I know Brother Hall possibly might call in. I know he's going through some hard times, him and his wife, and Brother Lloyd and Sister Betty Yearwood. I know that each and every one of there are those underneath the sound of my voice that you've come, amen, but you've been bidden by the king, and you've been invited into his house, and when you came, amen, you know, and I know, Sister Glass, I know you went through several surgeries, and I know, Brother Sister Green, there were some hardships and some things and some losses in your life in the past, amen, and amen, but you need to know tonight is it's free the same way. And those of you that say my voice, this was your time of purification. Amen. Getting ready for it. Because I want to declare unto you tonight that you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. He told her, amen, that if she did not speak in the time, that the enlargement would come from somewhere else. And as you were, all of you have been called, Sister Glass, you've been called, and Reverend Sister Green, you've been called, and you went through, and amen. And just like you said, the Bible says, if you'll be faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. And that's what God has said. And what really brought this out in me is this meekness that I thought about those who have taken, amen, the lower seat. And you need to know, amen, Brother and Sister Green and Sister Gladys, and amen, that trial that you went through with your time of purification, amen. Just like in the Scriptures teaches, I believe it's in second or third chapter of the book of Esther, it talks about that there were 6 months of myrrh and 6 months of purification of oil, amen. And as you went into the chamberlain of the king, amen, there was a time of purification. And the process that you all of you went through, even your trials, even your tribulation, because the Bible says, say you're not a stranger to the fiery trial which you've been tried with, as a man or some is. He said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, this is your purifying. Amen. I know, like I said, you went through some physical things, such as glass, but it's just purification to bring you even to this night, for even to this kingdom for such a time as this. All of you have been called to the kingdom of God right now to speak the word, and you've been bidden to the higher seat tonight, and God has come, and even as they were given a chance and an opportunity, all of you, underneath the sound of my voice, have been given an opportunity to go. And what happened is every candidate, amen, that they came, and they could go into the king's chambers and take whatever they desire. But here was Esther, and here's why I believe that God has promoted you. I believe that God has, amen, not only but brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this, as this broadcast, as this sowing, because you have not fainted. You have sowed, amen. You have put your hand to the plow, and even through adversity, and even when it's been cold, and even when it's not been, even though you went through trials, and even though you went through tribulation, and even though you've had losses of all kinds, finances and lives and everything else like that, you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this, as deliverance in this last time ministry and reconciliation to restore them with the spirit of meekness and with the humbleness. And amen, as Esther went into the chamberlain, she went into Haggai, and all she desired is what Haggai would give her. In other words, what the king like. And tonight we are here because King Jesus, he has a desire, amen, tonight. And tonight we've come into his chambers, and we went through the purification process, amen. As we went through the purification process, every one of us tonight, amen, have been bidden to the higher seat, because we've all come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And the Bible says, going back to Galatians chapter 6, says, considering thyself, lest thou should be tempted. And then you're talking to the believer. He said, look, there's something you need to be considered, that there are those underneath that you know that have been overtaken in their transgression, overtaken in their sin, overtaken in their rebellion. He said, you need to consider yourself, because you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would be the one that was overtaken tonight. Someone else would be restoring your life. So I thank God for his grace, and I thank God for his mercy tonight, because we've got an opportunity, because we, amen, that are spiritual, are doing a restoration, doing a reconciliation tonight, that we've been, amen, because we need to consider ourselves, that we've been tempted just as they are. Some of them have been overtaken, but I think by the grace of God tonight that we right now, amen, by the grace and mercy of God, amen, because of his mercy and grace, because we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this, that we are in, amen, have the privilege of being a part of this sowing and reaping, amen, and being, the Bible says in chapter verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We were instructed, and we've been instructed, we're instructed tonight. That instruction, that doctrine is still the same, that we are to bear one another's difficulty and impartiality.
Amen.
We are, these all of us ministers, amen. But not only the ministers, but every one of us on this broadcast tonight are to carry one another's burdens. Amen. As the prayer requests come forth, these are burdens. These are difficulties. These are situations. These are adversities. And we are to carry and lift them up. We are to bear up that burden. It doesn't matter, amen, because see, as the body of Christ, this is our burden. It might not affect us individually, but it should affect us because we are to be one spirit and one mind. Amen. Amen, and one body. And so as these who come out, we might not even know who they are, but the Bible says, whatsoever we do unto the least of these, we've done unto him. Amen. And tonight, amen, the Bible says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We have to be careful tonight, because when we come to a place of thinking that we're something or somebody, that is the very time, church, that we are nobody and nothing. And we need to know tonight that we don't need to deceive ourselves. But the Bible said, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, when we come, amen, and do our own works and do our own, amen, not in our own works individually, but the works of the Father. Our works are to be the works of the Father. And as we put our hand to the plow, and as we put our hand, amen, and we begin to sow seed, amen, amen, because amen. That's what believers do. That's what believers do. They sow the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only into their lives, but into other lives around them. And the Bible says, where every man shall bear his own burden. So there's a time, amen, that we shall bear. We're responsible for our own burdens. There's a time that we will be carried. There's a time and there's a season, just like you're talking about here. So let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In other words, there's an action or a reaction to what you've been taught by the word of God. Those of you that are being taught need to turn around and communicate the good things that you have been taught, that he or she that teaches you into all good things. It needs to be a communication, an open communication, letting them know that they are being taught in good things. And just like it says here, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, and many times when we go into a garden or we go to a vineyard and we come and it's plowed over, and there's seed in the ground. And, you know, we look at that, and if they're not plants that are coming up the ground, that whole harvest field can be sown. We might not know what's there, but God knows what's there. When you hide the seeds, amen, whatever you sowed into the earth tonight, church, God knows what is there. God is not mocked. Be not deceived that those of you that have sowed, amen, to your flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But those of you that have sowed unto the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, amen, he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Tonight we need to know the Scriptures teaches that the Holy One, he shall not suffer the Holy One to see corruption. We are in the flesh corruptible tonight, church. But there's a time, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that what this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. When we start sowing to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life, amen, and we're not weary, we're not tired, we're not collapsing, amen, we're not falling away, amen. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that they that wait upon the Lord. That doesn't mean someone that's sitting down. That doesn't mean someone that's like at a bus stop. That means he that is ministering, he or she that's ministering on the Lord, shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's a promise to you tonight, church. That's a promise to you as you begin to wait. How do you wait upon the Lord? You wait on his children. You serve those. You come and you find them, amen, amen, that have been overtaken. You find them that are hungry. You find them that are naked and clothed in. You find them that are thirsty and give them drink. You find them that have a need, hallelujah, and you help to meet that need. You find them that cannot bear the burden alone anymore, and you lift them up, and you lift their hands up. You find them, you begin to bear, and you begin to lift up hands as they lifted up the hands of Moses, as Aaron and Hur, amen, in that time of the battle.
Amen.
And we are lifting one another's hands up tonight, amen, and so that we won't be weary. When the time when those, when the shimmy of the hands are not lifted, he said, let the weak say, I am strong. God is not mocked whatsoever a man soweth, for that that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You have to understand that when you sow to the Spirit tonight, it's not only sowing hope and seed into this life, but in the life to come. Hallelujah. This is the seed that lasts for eternal. Amen. If you'll sow to the Holy Spirit tonight, it takes you not only into this life, but into the afterlife. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there's only one afterlife. As to the believer, amen, there's a resurrection of damnation and a resurrection of the just. And the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. We should never be tired of doing the well-doing and the deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the time is, it's not time for us, our hands to hang down. It's not time for our knees to be weak. But it's time to be strengthened by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It said, let us do, if we faint not, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. In other words, every opportunity you have, do good unto them, especially to them who are the household of faith. We are to be good to them who are in the household of faith. A couple more scriptures, yes, then I'm going to give back to Brother and Sister Green over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Excuse me, let me turn over there. I don't have it marked. Just came in the door right before the program started tonight. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. There's a race set before each and every one of us, but you need to know tonight, God doesn't care whether you're first tonight, church, because this race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. You need to know tonight that there's a race set before us. There's a place that we need to get to. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin. You know why we become weary? Because we become laid down with sins. Because we sowed to the flesh and nothing is coming out. You know, when Cain and Abel, amen, in the book of Genesis, hallelujah, when the book of Genesis there, when Cain rose up and slew Abel, his brother, and God began to speak to him there, he said, where is thy brother Abel? And Cain said, I don't know, paraphrasing it. He said, am I my brother's keeper? He said, thy brother's blood crieth for me on the earth. What had he done? Oh, he had sowed to his flesh and killed his brother. And the blood, amen, that cried. And because the blood, amen, of his brother was there on the earth, he said, all the days of thy life, as a ground tiller, that's what he was. And he began to sow. And as he was so, he said that the earth would not give up anything because of the blood that he had put in it. And planted. He was cursed, amen. He said, thou shalt be a vagabond all the days of thy life. And he said, oh, that curse is too much upon me. This, again, I'm paraphrasing it, amen. He said that whoever would see me would kill me. And God the Father marked him. And whoever would come against him made him to a place that no one would slay him. Amen. And so we need to know tonight, amen, hallelujah, that we need to lay aside the weight and the sin that makes us weary in well-doing. We need it because we've got a race to run. We need to let aside every weight. This race that we're running, like I said, there's a gate, there's a walk, amen, that we walk. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said to do good to those of the household of faith. You know who's at the finish line? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was there with you, and when you begin this race, he'll be there with you at the end. He'll be waiting upon you, hallelujah. And the Bible says we need to look unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Oh, he didn't get weary in well-doing. He was beaten beyond recognition. The Bible says his vision was so marked, he was astonished. They put crowns of thorns on his head and plaited him. They mocked him. They spit him. Remember what it says? Mm-hmm. God is not mocked. But yet they mocked him. They put upon him a purple robe, amen, hallelujah, and mocked him and said, hail, King of the Jews. They smote him with the reed, amen. They pierced his side, amen. Hallelujah. They drove nails in his hands, amen. He could have got weary at any time. He could have given up at any time, but he didn't. Because you know what? It was a due season. Because you know what? You were the harvest. You were that seed that was going to come up. Because he began to sow, amen, unto his Father. so that you could come up. You had an opportunity. Why? Because every one of us was overtaken in our sins. Every one of us was overtaken in our fault. But the one that was called the meek one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, I see hope in them. I see opportunity in them. Yeah, but the Lord would have said, yeah, but he's a sinner. She's a sinner. She got this in her life. He got that in his life. They've been overtaken. Oh, you don't want that one. Oh, that's exactly the one I want. You know what, tonight?
Amen.
You know what needs to sound like, Bush? You're exactly the one that Jesus wants. You're exactly the one that Jesus needs. You're exactly why the perfect one came, because we're so imperfect. God is making us in completion. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, despising the shame and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. They mocked him. They scourged him. Amen. They even beat him in the chest, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. In other words, you got to understand what he said. There was such a contradiction. The whole world was against him. But yet he went to the cross. The whole world was against him. Yet in the Via Dolorosa, the way of pain, he walked every step, every mile of the way. You have to understand something. Amen. I've heard many times, amen, people, but you know what? You know why Simon had to carry the cross? It wasn't because Jesus couldn't. What did I just read to you? Every man must bear his own burden. You see, you have to understand something tonight. That was already Simon's cross when this journey began. Church, that was already your cross when he began to carry it. But it only became his cross when he changed, amen. Oh, for that old rugged cross, amen, hallelujah. And because he come, amen, he carried it all the way, amen. And because as he carried it, Simon didn't have to hang on it. Why? Because there was one who was not weary in well-doing. And he said, no, Simon, I'll take your place. No, world, I'll take your place. You know why? Because he knew that there was a time of due season. He said, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. In other words, he whips every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? You know what? The world chastisement was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't his chastisement. The world, he says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Everything you see on the cross, they despise him. The Bible says we esteemed him smitten of God. God didn't do that to him. God didn't hang him on the cross. God didn't whip him. God didn't place the nails in his hand. We did. We're guilty. But guess what? He was not weary. He said, Father, it is finished. Oh, he ran the race tonight. And you know what? He didn't become weary in well-doing. And tonight, church, it's your due season, because every one of you under the sound of my voice has come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God, Brother John, and we appreciate that word. And you know what stuck out to me, Brother Pastor, there where you're talking about holding on to the plow or put your hand to the plow. And, you know, I thank God that one day he called my name and I put my hand to that plow and I did not let go. And I won't look back. Hallelujah. Those things might come against me, this old world. You know, he said we would be persecuted. He said, when they hate you, remember, they hated me first, Jesus' words. And I want to just hold on to him. And you know, I heard a preacher one time say, if the backslider would just pray one more time, they wouldn't have backslid. And I tell you, if Brother John's talking to you tonight, and if you're under the sound of my voice here tonight, and you've had your hand to the plow, and you've let go, it's real easy just to ask God to come back into your life and to hold on to you. There's a song when Brother Green asked me through the week, he said, has God given you anything for this broadcast tonight? And I said, I don't know why it come to me, but there's a song that they used to sing, and I looked for it on YouTube, and I couldn't find it the way we heard it sung. We found it, but it wasn't the same. But if you'll make one step, he'll take two. All you got to do is make that first step. I believe it was Jeremiah in chapter 18. It talked about Jeremiah, that God spoke to him and said, get up and go down. And talked about him to go down, I believe it was to Jerusalem or Israel there, where there was a potter. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And how there was a vessel of clay. And that's you and I tonight. If you need to be remolded and reshaped, and there's flaws that happen and come about in you because the winds of this world are beating upon your house, and there's cracks and stuff in your foundation and your walls and your roof and your ceiling, and there's a leak in that old building, I tell you, just get back to God and get back on the potter's will and let him reshape you. Let him form you. Let him make you a vessel that can hold and retain the Holy Ghost, and it won't leak out with fire. Praise God. All you got to do right now is just lift up your hands and begin to call upon the Lord right there where you're at. You may be in Jamaica. You may be over in the other land somewhere. You may be over in Australia. We've got all kind of countries listening to us today that knows English. And we thank God for this unique way that we could get out the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking to somebody tonight. And if you'll just do it, we may never meet you. We may never know who you are. But God knows, for he is the potter and you are the clay. Praise God. That we used to sing a song says, it's time to come back home, child. Well, it's your night to come back home. And you could do that right here in your living room or wherever you're listening or wherever you're at your computer desk. You just begin to shed the tears and break before the Lord, and he'll take the pieces and put them back together again. I feel this, Pastor John. I feel this, panelists across our callers here tonight. And I tell you, God is so good. If you want to be a part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. If God's dealing with you, there's plenty of prayer warriors on this here line tonight that'll call, pray with you. This is kind of like a conference call, so to speak, where you can talk with each other. And people's all over the world. Pastor John's down there in Georgia, and me and Brother Green's here in Ohio, and Sister Frida's in Georgia. And Sister Gladys is getting ready to come on here after this next song, and she's in Kentucky. And I just thank God. I'm bragging on the Lord because he is good. We got people listening in Haiti, hallelujah, and South Korea, all over the place. And, you know, this is God. This is God doing a work in these last days. And I just love him, and I praise God for every minute, every soul that's saved. And, oh, hallelujah, praise God. I receive that, Brother John, what you were saying about this ministry, hallelujah, and the people that come on here faithfully and share the gospel with God for God, hallelujah. I want you to listen to this song, and I sure hope it blesses you. It's by Pastor Tommy Bates, and he's there in Independent, Kentucky, and I hope this sure blesses you.
When I come to the end of my journey, live a lifetime for this day alone. Just caught a glimpse, getting a little bit anxious. Started out a walk, a little run of the we'll my journey. Every once in my God, leave me alone. The mountains and the valleys are behind me. Road ahead straight and I'm running my last mile home. Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Turn on back and let me through.
Praise God. If you started out walking and you're running your last mile home, run on, child, run on. But I tell you, if you started walking this away and you were running at one time, praise God, and you let go, just get right back on your knees and start. You know, you can walk the best. You stand the best on your knees. Hallelujah. God is good. I was thinking, and I'm just going to obey God for just a minute here. In 2 Kings and chapter 5, I was thinking about how Naaman, the captain of a host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to skip on down. You can read that if you like in 2 Kings chapter 5. And we know the story how he had to go and dip seven times. Praise the Lord. But he didn't want to go at first because the water there was bitter. But, you know, he had to obey God. He had to go and do what God told him to do. Praise the Lord. And I was thinking about in Jeremiah a while ago, this time it's in chapter 29, as God was speaking in chapter 9, 11, and 14, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord,
amen.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye come upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Listen, folks, God's speaking to somebody here tonight. I was just feeling like that somebody, maybe one, two, three, four, it don't matter, but God knows the number. I believe somebody is going to get saved tonight. Somebody is going to come back to God. And the verse 13 in Jeremiah 29, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will find you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again. Listen at this, folks. I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, if you were walking, and you stopped walking, and you stopped running with the Lord, and you come back to him right now, he will bring you back to the place where you once walked with him, and you will gain ground once with God all over again, and he will give and restore ground back to you, and he will cause the enemy to flee. In Jeremiah, I don't remember the chapter we're about to threat right now, I'm going to paraphrase, but one of these days, Jeremiah said, we're going to look at that old slew foot, we're going to look at the devil, and we're going to say, little old you, just you are the one that caused me all this grief, just you, you're nothing, and we're going to watch him, like Sister Gladys was talking last Friday, we're going to watch him be cast into the lake of fire. Praise God. Sister Gladys, you go ahead, sis, and you obey God.
I want to praise God, Sister Green, and it's all been good. The Holy Spirit's coming down in a mighty way, and what Tim was helping a couple members of the church tonight, their heaters had gone out, and he had to go get the parts, and I thought, well, Lord, I want to get busy on the Word, and I know I'm going to run out of time, but, you know, we can always find a way if we try our best to, and I've got the King James Version on my phone, and I thought, I asked one of the little girls in the house, I said, do you have a piece of paper and do you have a pencil? So she gave it to me and I wrote chicken scratch, sorry about that, and I wrote down the scriptures. When I came back home, I filled them out. But I know this, and I appreciate, like Sister Green told you, Brother John, all that you said, and I received that prophecy that you brought forth. I want to get up higher and go up higher, and I want to bless people. And I thank God. Our pastor said you need to understand that you're blessed and highly favored. Those are God's words, not mine. Mm-hmm. I praise him for the favor that he gives us. And I want to go into 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 6. It's therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to be like Paul, Brother John. I don't want God to make me go through all the things like Paul, but there are times, sometimes I feel like I do, but I'm not going to go on that subject. What I'm saying is I want to not ever get weary or never want to faint not. You know, Paul knew that he had a ministry to raise up above his circumstances. You know, we may have to stand firm and let God be God. We have to be persistent in this thing and persevere when we have trials come our way that we don't understand. We've got to pray and not faint. And I know this much, that even though we have get weary in our bodies and we have many times opposition come our way, we still have to stand on the word and know God is God, and he's not left the throne room, and he never will. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter, like I say, I had to write them on a piece of paper, but on 1 Corinthians 15, 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I preach it many times from the pulpit. You know, you may go through a lot of sickness and a lot of health. It's like I've told him many times from the pulpit, your pain is not in vain. God will use it in time for his glory. If it is to understand what people go through, so that the Lord has told me at times that I will lay hands on the sick, it'll be his spirit that moves through my hand, and I believe that they will recover. Just as the word said, he said we'll do greater things than he ever did. But I look forward to the time that I can understand and let them know, I know how you feel because I've gone through it. If you haven't gone through sickness and you've not gone through pain, you can't honestly look at someone in the face and say, I know where you're at. I know what you're going through, because we have no clue. But I praise God for the good times and the bad, Sister Joanne. We have to be fully persuaded to go through the hard times and the bad times. You know, there's one scripture I hold on to. It's in Isaiah 43:2. Let me go to that part in my Bible. He's a good God, and I praise him tonight. He's so awesome, and he raises me up each morning. And Brother John, yes, I've gone through many things, and there was a time in my life in 2007 I could hardly walk across the floor. The bones in my feet hurt. My hands hurt so bad. I went from 155 pounds down to 99. But God, he's resurrected me back up. I'm a walking, talking miracle, and today I'm able to watch my grandbaby. It's a joy in my heart when I get up in the morning, and she claps her hands when I walk in the room. That's God. That's God showing me favor and blessing my spirit and blessing my body to where I can walk again, and I can sit up again. I can reach out to people that are hurting, and I praise God for that. The scripture I hold on to at times is in Isaiah 43, and it's 2. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, we walk through things sometimes, and we don't understand. But God says to not faint, not to be weary, and that's the thing we've got to get a hold of, like Paul did. He knew in his heart if he preached and did the ministry that God showed him he needed to do. He knew that he could speak to the people, and he said, if you hold true to God, he will fill you with joy. If you hold true to God, he'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. If you hold to your faith, that you will abound in hope. He will give you the Holy Spirit will move through you and show up in power. That he said that that he would hold on to it, Paul did, that they could be filled with God's goodness, and they could be filled with the Lord's knowledge, and they could be capable of ministering to the sick and to the people that were weary and needed an uplifting word of encouragement. We need to understand that when our bodies get exhausted and we've given till we don't feel like we can give anymore, we still got to take that extra step, because God said, if you take one step, I'll take two. That God will meet us where we need to be met. And he said not to lose heart, not to give up. And he said that he would renew us daily if we go to him. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know, when I get up in the morning, I do my best to praise the Lord, and I say, thank you for a new day. And I say, God, give me your strength, because there's many times in my body, in the things I've gone through, that I could hardly put my feet on the floor. But I praise God that now I can. I can sit up for more than 10 minutes, and I can walk for more than 10 minutes. And that's God's doing, not my own. In Romans 15:14, I may have already read that one. It says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, to admonish one another. Brother John had mentioned that and touched on that, that we need to lift each other up. And like he said, they raised Moses' hand. And there are times that I know that there are times we have to gather around our First Lady and our pastors and hold their hands up spiritually and physically. We have to let them know that we are there for them, and we're there to be beside them, behind them, wherever they need us to be. And the Lord said that he would use us. If we read the Word of God, we have to be his eyes, his ears, his feet, and his hands. And I want to walk uprightly before the Lord. I want to grow closer and get more wisdom and knowledge. And just listening to you, brothers and sisters, on this broadcast has helped me tremendously. It makes my spirit grow. And there are times when Pastor Gifford wants to pass the mic around, and they call that tag team. But there are times I'm so antsy, I can't even hardly get up. I get so excited, I want to get up off my seat and get ahead of myself, but I have to wait till the mic comes to me. But when it does, I want the fire to fuel my spirit and for me to turn loose and turn up and let the other members in the house of God know you can live it. You can go further than you think you can go. It's the spirit in you. It's the Christ spirit in you that will give you the strength daily. He said that we can do all things through Christ Jesus. I used to have it hanging on my wall, and when there were times in my body, that I got so weak that I could hardly move, that was printed beside my stove, and my son could see that I looked at it, and I said it out loud. We need to speak these prophecies over the scriptures in the Word of God. Speak them over our life. There's life and death in the tongue if we speak it. And if we're weary, we can speak strength. We can speak health. There's many ways that the Lord has to bring us back to health. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Jolene.
Praise God, Sister Gladys. Enjoyed that word, and thank you for obeying God. And, you know, I was thinking there how we're to be ready instant in season and out of season, and that's exactly what I was talking about. If we fill up this vessel and it can hold the Word of God, and when it's your turn and when it time comes that your pastor would bring you the microphone, I love that. We used to call that popcorn preaching. And you know, if we get mm-hmm. that word down in us, that when the mic is handed to us, and, you know, if you're a preacher, you always got something to say for the Lord. And even if you're not a preacher, you're called to be a witness, because after you get the Holy Ghost, you have the power to be a witness for God. So if you get that word down in you, and I'm speaking to some people tonight that across the world and maybe here in the United States, and you just be ready. You might be standing in a line at the store, and somebody might ask you something, and you got to open a door for you to speak, but have something to say for the glory of God, and He'll pick you up, and He'll pour you out. I love that song by Michael Combs that I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup is running over. Praise the Lord. God is good. I tell you, this broadcast is really, I tell you, I'm fired up tonight. I know that people are listening and that I've not seen before, and I just, you know, confirmation through Facebook. Sister Gladys, I'm going to turn in your prayer request if you don't mind, sis.
Yes, go ahead.
John Loveless needs a miracle in his body. Pray for him and his family. Wanda needs a healing financial restoration. Sister Penny Bain says, please remember her brother Lee, ongoing surgeries, and also a praise report. Praise God. This is what this is all about, to the glory of God. A praise report last week, you prayed for my daughter Crystal. God moved in her life. And I want to thank God. I know that young lady from a young girl, and now she's a grown woman with children of her own. God has moved somehow in a great way for her mama, to put that on Facebook. And I thank God for that. Brother Russ Bray, he says their Saturday night service outreach for atheists and agnostic people have committed to one of the team ministry team members to come a week from tomorrow night. Please pray that the Lord will help us walk in His Spirit more deeply than ever before, so they see Him and only Him. One of them told the ministry team member that has been witnessing to them that he wants to find the God that works from within. We desire to show Him to the man and everyone else that comes seeking Him. Amen. Praise God. That is
amen.
God's going to do a work for people that's wanting to do a work. Praise the Lord. And Veronica Mink, she says, I am ready to start a new journey and trying to locate never met minor siblings. And she doesn't know how to get started, and she wants us to pray for her. So God is going to move on these prayer requests, and toward the end of the broadcast, we're going to definitely pray over them, as we always do, and to God be all the glory. He does the work, praise the Lord. And I just love the Lord tonight. I thank Him. I'm going to bring another song to you. I feel led to play this here. Just listen to the words of this here song.
As I kneel in the dark, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance and the answer be heard. Lord, I see another valley, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'm looking in the field. But He said, I walk on the water, and I calm the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and gave me peace.
If you want to be a part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you're looking to go to a church in the local area of Ohio, around the Middletown area, Springboro, Franklin, wherever you may be there, our address is, first of all, it's called Heavenly Highway Tabernacle. It's 5990 Michael Road, Middletown, Ohio. We'd love to have you. Services are Sunday, 10 a.m. in the morning, and again in the evening at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. And on Saturday, it is at 7 p.m. And we'd love to have you. Come out. Praise God. It's a good church. Lots of great people there. Our pastor, Pastor Billy Wilson, and also our co-pastor, Brother Merle Seeley, and their precious wives. So we love the Lord. We thank God. Pastor John, you want to tell us your location there in Georgia of your church?
Yeah, we're at 114 East Main Street in Thomaston, Georgia. We're located about 70 miles south of Atlanta. We're on the main street, but it's actually also 74, Highway 74 in the state of Georgia coming through the center of Thomaston. So we just thank the Lord for, if you're in the area, you're more than welcome to come. We're having services on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. You know. Right now we're having just one service on Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're more than welcome to come, and we'll make you welcome. And if you're ever in the area, once you say it, we love you and we praise you. We might not see, just like you said earlier in the program, we might not see, but there is a harvest, amen, that is coming. There is a harvest, and that's what reaping is. There's a harvest that's coming. And like I said, we might not see it, all of it on this side of heaven, and surely we're not going to, but we will one day see it, and I just praise the Lord for it.
Amen. Praise God. So if you're in that area, please be with Pastor John and Sister Frida also there. And Sister Gladys, you want to tell there where Brother Wayne Gifford's church is?
Yes, our pastor is Wayne Gifford, and we're out on 6367 U.S. Route 60, Polksville, Kentucky. We have service on Sunday morning at 10 and in the evening at 6, and on Wednesday night it's at 7 p.m. Everyone's welcome.
Amen. If you want to be part of this broadcast, again, we're going to say it's 347-989-8862, and we would love for you to brag on Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it over to my husband. This is Evangelist Clint Green. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's good to be with you tonight. Thanking the Lord tonight that we got a lot of listeners listening in tonight. We're thankful for that. And got a little bit of something going on here with my throat, but I believe the Lord's going to take care of that. I want to start out tonight. You know, we're talking about not fainting. And Rachel, she read that scripture in Galatians 6 and 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I want to go back up just a little bit here. In verse 7 it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the Bible says also here in verse 10, I want to skip over 9, go to 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I want you to know tonight that you're only going to prosper if you go God's way. If you go and sow to the flesh, you cannot prosper. It's just a dead-end road, and it's a downhill road, and it's it just takes you lower and lower. And, you know, when we was living in sin, I can look back when I was living in sin and doing the things of the world. You know, the world, the things I was doing was taking all my money. And it was also taking my health. It was destroying my health, and it was doing things to me that would not prosper me. But when I turned my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and I started serving Him, I've been prosperous. The Lord has blessed me.
Amen.
And I've been through some things. There's been times that I've lost some things, but I tell you, in the end, God is going to bless us. And I tell you, He's going to bless us even while we're here. If we will continue in well-doing, we will overcome. We'll overcome everything that comes up against us, praise God. I'm so glad that I'm in the city of God tonight, that I'm in the household of faith, that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, when I lay my head on my pillow at night, I don't have to worry if the house were to catch on fire or something was to happen and, you know, somebody throwed a bomb through the window or whatever. You know, I'm not worried because I sure wouldn't want nothing like that to happen. But the thing about it is, if it ever did happen, you know, I'm going to a better place. And He said He'd go and prepare a place for us that we're He was, He is, we would be also. And He would keep us as we travel down here. He said He'd never, He would send us another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, and whom the world cannot receive. But see, we received Him. And I thank God that we have a comforter. And I wonder what people, how do they cope without the help of God? But you know,
Amen.
God's even helping people that don't even know that God's anywhere around, and He's helping them. He looks out at the sparrow, and He sees the sparrow and the birds in the field. And you know, God feeds the little sparrows. And the Bible said if one falls to the ground, God knows all about it. So, you know, God was watching over me before I ever came and gave my heart to the Lord. There was several times that I could have been killed, and I had some close calls, but, you know, I thank God that I had some people praying for me, my aunts and my uncles and different ones that was praying for us, and they belonged to churches, and no doubt they turned in many requests for us that we might be saved, and I'm so thankful for that. I tell you, there's power in prayer. I want to read something here in Matthew chapter 5, and it says here, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to say tonight also that, you know, God has saved us that we will bring forth good works. He's not saved us in our sin, but he saved us. He did save us in our sin, but he cleansed us from sin. And he says, set us apart. And we are a city that is set upon a hill which cannot be hid. And I don't want to. He said here, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. When God gave you the light, he wanted you to let your light shine. We used to sing that little song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And I remember that when I was a little kid down there in the Church of God, down there at Hiawassee Church of God, and out there in Short Bark, Tennessee, there, out there in the country, and I was probably 5, 6 years old maybe, and we'd get up and we would sing that song in front of the church, and I remember that about our light shining. And you know, God didn't light us, put a light in us and want us to put it under a bushel, but he wants us to set it upon the candlestick and to give us light unto all that are in the house. And I'm talking about good works. I'm talking about sowing to the Spirit. I'm talking about doing things that would glorify God. You know, we try to glorify God in everything we do. Me and my wife, we try to dress right. We try to talk right. And we try to live right. And we do live right. And I thank God it's because God gives us the power to do so. There's a lot of things we can't do. We can't help everybody that needs help. We know that. We can help some, but we can't help everybody. And, you know, we're living in a time when it seems like everything is sky high. The groceries seems like they keep going up, and the cost of living keeps going up, and things are getting harder, and, you know, seems like the gasoline price is going higher and higher. And I tell you, we're living in a time when we definitely need God more and more. And we see things coming to pass. We see the mark of the beast just around the corner and things like that. They're wanting to put chips in people's hands and wanting to put them in their foreheads. And you know, it's leading up to just what the Bible said in Revelation 13. And we're sowing righteous seed tonight. We're trying to get people to look into the Word of God and see where they're living at. And I tell you, if we're coming up short, church, we're going to miss it. We can't afford to miss it. We've got to sow righteous seed. We've got to lay up our treasure in heaven where the moth and the rust cannot, and the thieves cannot break through and steal. We've got to do things, help people along this walk, and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And his law was love. He said to love everybody. Try to, you know, we can't always agree with everything, but we can pray for their soul. And we can't always just hand out money, because some people will just take it and go buy another fix. They'll just go get them another jug of alcohol or something. But we have to try to help people in a way that it will be a help and it not be a hindrance. But I thank God tonight that I'm a city set upon a hill, and I'm not putting my candle under a bushel, but I'm putting it to the best of my ability and with the help of the Lord on the candlestick, and know that it gives light to somebody. And I know there's light going out tonight over the broadcast through the preaching of the Word of God and the good things that have been said tonight. But let us not grow weary in well doing, for we know that we're going to reap if we faint not. I'll tell you, you'll never outgive God. You give God everything you got. You know, you are not going to lose nothing that you've put up in heaven. The only way you're going to be able to keep what you got is to give it away, you know. And, of course, we have to have, you know, stuff to live on. We know that. God's He'll prosper us, and he wishes above all things. The Bible said there in 3 John, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. You know, I don't knock on wood, and I don't carry lucky rabbit's feet around, things like that, lucky charms and all this kind of stuff.
Amen.
You know, that's foolishness in the sight of God. And if you're doing anything like that, I want to encourage you just to quit that, because God is a jealous God. You know, some people will say something and they'll say, knock on wood. Well, I want to encourage you, my friend, not to do that, because that's like saying that there is no God. That's like saying that it's better to knock on wood than it is to ask God to help you. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'll ask God to help you, he'll help you. He'll put away your idols and all the things that stand between you and God. God will help you. I'll tell you, I've had to give up some things when I come to God, when I come to Christ for salvation. I quit my drinking. I laid it aside. I didn't drink no more. I quit my cussing and foul language that I had. I'll tell you, I put it aside, and I quit my cussing and coming out with that foul language and all that stuff. And I'll tell you, if you're still coming out with that, you need to go back to the altar, and you need to get a little bit closer to God, because God can cleanse you from all sin. The Bible said that he cleanses us from all sin. We have an advocate with the Father if we do sin, but God's not wanting us to sin. We're not supposed to go around and sin and sin and sin, because when you're doing that, you're sowing to the flesh, and we cannot sow to the flesh and reap the benefits of God. We must sow to the Spirit if we want to reap the benefits of heaven, if we want the glory of God to come down on us. Somebody said not too long ago to me, said, I'm trying to do right and this and that, you know, but said, God is not helping me. Well, I want you to know we've got to check ourselves and examine ourselves, because I don't believe I'm a servant of God that won't help you. I believe I'm a servant of God that will help you. I believe he's a good God, and he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I tell you, he said that we could come to the light, and we could be blessed. And I'm blessed tonight, and I'm going to continue to be blessed, because I'm going to stay on the Lord's side, and I'm going to sow a righteous seed for the reaping. You know, they sang an old song, let us sow righteous seed for the reaping, which is coming to every one. Oh, what joy on that day when we hear Jesus say, come ye blessed, you know, to inherit the kingdom. Now, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want him to say, enter in. I don't want him to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Now, I want you to know Matthew 25, I believe it is. He said, I was hungry, and you fed me not. And I was in prison, and you didn't visit me. And I was a stranger, and you took me not in. And different things he began to say. I was thirsty, and you gave me no water. I'll tell you something tonight. He said to the rest, he said to those on the right hand, he said that they had done the right thing, that he was thirsty, and they gave him drink, and he was hungry, and they fed him, and he was a stranger, and they took him in. I'll tell you tonight, we need to help people along the way. And I thank God for all the churches out there, and the people out there that are helping people. They have food programs and different things, and they support missionaries, and they try to reach out into far countries, and they try to win souls, and they try to teach the gospel of Christ, and to tell people that the judgment day is a-coming, that Christ is coming again, and the day of the Lord is a-coming as a thief in the night. And the Bible said that the heavens and earth is going to melt away with a fervent heat and the elements thereof. And what manner of persons ought we to be in all a holiness and godly conversation, seeing that all these things is going to come to pass, that one day that the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. And the Bible said, we which are alive and remain will be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And I'll tell you, that trumpet, it's going to sound one day. And the Bible said, as a snare, just like it was in the days of Noah, and the flood came and took them all away, and it's going to be that way again. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. We're living in perilous times, and the Bible said in the last days that perilous times would come. Men would be lovers of their own selves, and covetous, and boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, and unthankful, and unholy. I'll tell you, we're living in that day. There's a great falling away, church, and we need to get back. We need to get back to the altars of God, and we need to get back into the houses of God, and we need to preach. We need to testify, and we need to fight the good fight and stand in the gap, and we need to do the things. We need to sow righteous seed for the reaping. Praise God. We not need to draw back or to lose out, but we need to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not again tangled with the things that tangled us up in our past. Praise God. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin that does easily beset us. And let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us run with patience that race set before us. Praise God. Let me go on here a little farther here. Praise God. I'm talking about a city setting on a hill, upon a hill. Jesus saved you that you could be a light. He given you power to be a witness. He wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost so that you can be a greater witness, so that the world see the glory of God in you, know that you've been changed. Praise God. I want you to know tonight, there's been a whole lot of people that run the race before us. They've entered into the glory. They've departed out of this life, and they've fulfilled their ministry, and they've fought a good fight, and they kept the faith. And I want that to be my testimony someday, but we cannot draw back and be blessed. Praise God. I'm trying to get a hold on something here to read to you. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible tells us many examples of people that ran the race before us and entered in to the rest. Praise God. I want to talk about some of them here tonight. By faith, Abraham, it says here in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're doing tonight, church. We're doing the same thing that Abraham did. We're following God. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And we're following after Jesus. And, you know, we're following the Word of God. We don't see Jesus today. We can't walk with Him like the disciples walked with Him. They walked with Him down here in a fleshly, He was in His fleshly body, and they lived and walked and talked with Him, and He taught them. But you know, He's still teaching us today. He's still got the Word of God that we can look into. He gave us His Word. He sent His Word, the Bible said, and healed them. He was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I'm talking about following Christ and sowing righteous seed tonight, and growing, don't grow weary in well-doing. And don't cast away your confidence. I want to look over here in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And I want to look and see here, chapter 10 and verse 31. It says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Now I want you to notice this verse 35, chapter 10 of Hebrews. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, there's going to be a reward someday. And don't lose hope. Don't lose your confidence. And see, they had taken, in verse 33, partly, whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. You know, they may laugh at you, they may point at you and everything and talk about you, but down deep inside, they know that you're doing the right thing. But when they get all alone at night or wherever, they get in their bed, in their bedroom, or driving down the road in their car, they may make fun of you out there in the workplace or wherever you're at. And you may be a gazing stock, and they may reproach you and everything like that. And I'll tell you, you're in good company because they persecuted the prophets that were before you, and they persecuted the righteous people, and they're going to do that. But don't lose your faith. It says that they took joyfully, for you had compassion of me and my bonds, in verse 34, and took joyfully the spoiling of your good, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. In other words, they were laying up treasure in heaven. They were given to the Apostle Paul's needs there, and they were happy to do it because they know that they was going to get a reward at the end of the road. And at the end of this road, we're going to get a reward. Every day we're working now, we're working for that one day when we're going to stand before God. And that one day we'll have to give an account of what we've done. And we're working for that day. That day's coming when we'll stand before God and give an account for what we've done in this body and the life that we've lived down here. He said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. See, we've got to go on and endure this race. We've got to finish this race. You know, it's good to start out, but we're going to finish it, praise God. We're going to continue till Jesus comes. You know, I think about the old patriarchs, how they lived long lives. Some of them lived 900 years old, and some of them walked with God. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God, and it says there in Genesis chapter 5 that he walked with God and was not, for God took him. And also over here in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Enoch, in chapter 11, verse 5, for by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, Enoch believed God, and Enoch walked with God, and one day God took him. He never died, the Bible says here. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. You see, he walked with God, and he talked with God, and this was before the flood of Noah, and these men were men of God. And these were the sons of Seth, and they walked with God. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 4 and 5 and back in there. And then we come up to Noah, how Noah walked with God, and Noah built the ark, and God said, "The end of all flesh has come up before me," and it grieved the Lord that he had made man because of their wickedness. And you know, the same thing's going to happen again. It's going to get to that place again where people are going to turn away from God, and they're going to get so bad that you can't hardly preach to them. And sometimes some people's in that shape today. They don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. This is the greatest book that's ever been given to man. And this is the greatest story that's ever been told. And it carries the greatest benefits. If we'll abide by this Word of God, we'll reap benefits that the world will never reap. And we'll go to a place where we'll never grow old, we'll never get sick, and we'll never need no money to pay our bills. And we won't have to worry about all these light bills and heat bills and worry about fixing furnaces and all these different things, because we won't need all that stuff. But, you know, I think about Job. Job was a righteous man, the Bible said. And if you read the book of Job, it says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And I want you to know, the devil attacked that man and took everything that he had, and took his daughters and took his sons, and he lost everything he had. And, you know, his wife came to him and said, "Curse God and die." Job said, "You speak like a foolish child or a foolish woman, and one of the foolish women. You speak like that." And he never gave up on God. And you know, the Bible tells us the devil told God, said, "You put a hedge around him and around him and everything that he's got, but if you move that hedge, Job will curse you to your face." In other words, he'll backslide on you. He won't serve you. But you know, Job didn't do that. Job stayed true to God. And you know, we need to think about that tonight, church. We need to think that we need patience, because we need patience that after we've done the will of God, that we might receive the promise, because the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. If we abide in him and his words abide in us, in John 15 and 7, he said, "Ye shall ask what you will, and shall be done unto you. And we know that he said, "The works that I do, shall you do also." In John chapter 14, verse 12, I believe it is, he said, "These things that I do, you can do." And that's because he went back to the Father and sent back the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the one that does the work. And we work with him. Praise God. We're workers together with God. We work, you know, not just for God, but we work with God. He works with us. And if he didn't work with us, we'd be in bad shape tonight. If he didn't help us to preach, and if he didn't help us to teach and to do the things that we do, we'd be without a helper. Well, we'd be helpless tonight. We'd be hopeless. There'd be no conviction to convict people of their sins. But when we preach over the broadcast, and we preach in the pulpits and things, you know, and talk to people about Christ, there's somebody with us. The Holy Ghost is with us. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And he talked about healing was one of those signs. And you know, miracles and things like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, that God would work through his people with the gifts. And I thank the Lord for it. You know, many people here in the book of Hebrews, they followed God and they didn't give up. They didn't quit. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, this is chapter 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So you see tonight that there is a reward. There is going to be a reward for everything you do. Every seed you sow is going to come up. The righteous seed is going to come up, but if you sow the other seed, it's going to come up. I'm going to turn it back over to Joanna.
Thank God. I don't mean to interrupt, but there's been an urgent prayer request with our church. There's a church member of the family members of Amanda and Brandon Poff. They were just in a car accident, hit a tree head-on. Brandon, he had been taking care of flight. We need to pray, church. Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, touch Brandon.
Lord, touch
that
child right now, dear God.
In
the name of Jesus.
Lord,
we ask that you move and heal his body, God. Save him, Lord. Save him. We know he's already saved, God, by your grace, Lord. Help him, Lord. Help him to live. Oh, praise God. Ezekiel 16:6. Though I was polluted in my blood, I shall live. You shall live in the name of Jesus. Brandon Paul, God, in the name of Jesus, touch him, Lord. Touch Amanda, God. Help Michelle, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask
you,
Lord, to help them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, guide the doctor's hands, Lord. God, let him be a witness to the doctor. Lord, God, we praise you, Lord. Raise him up, dear God, off that bed, and let him be fine, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, in Jesus' name we pray mercy and grace. Dear
Father,
Lord,
name,
on both
Lord.
Of them, God, on
God,
Brandon and Amanda, Paul, Lord,
high,
in the name of Jesus,
Lord,
touch that
Lord,
whole family,
Lord,
dear God,
Father,
comfort
Jesus,
them, Lord, help them all drive
God,
safely, Lord,
Lord
in the name
God,
of Jesus.
Jesus,
Lord, over all these prayer
Lord,
requests tonight,
God,
dear Lord,
Father,
each and every one, dear Lord, my cousin Colleen had asked
God,
for urgent prayer requests earlier, Lord, you know that family situation, Lord, we don't know, but you know, God. We don't need to know everything, Lord, because you know everything. You see all, Lord. You have an all-seeing eye, dear God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord. Each and every prayer, Lord, request on here, God. Keep Rick Coger safe on the road, Lord, with his semi and all the wrecks that he's been posting on Facebook. God, you know, Lord Jesus, he needs angels encamped around about him, Lord, and protect him, Lord, bringing home safe to his family. In the name of Jesus, Lord, God, we thank you for moving. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for answering, Lord, every prayer. Praise God. Pastor John, you want to obey God some more, brother? We've got some more time. I'm thinking 16 more minutes. Hallelujah.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. I do have some scripture out of Matthew chapter 15,
thank
starting
God.
With verse 29. The woman that he had came to him, amen, and amen, had asked for healing for her daughter, and the Bible says that I wasn't going to go, but I'll go ahead and she had came, amen, going on up. I guess we'll go up to the verse 21, but it says, then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. You know, she didn't give up. She continued to cry, begin to seek, amen, and those disciples and those around Christ. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She cried out for help. And verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread cast it to the dogs. These was a man that he was talking about the Jewish people and talking about being sent to that time to those that were lost, a man in the house of Israel, the lost sheep. And he was talking about that was not meat. In other words, amen, to take the children's meat, bread, and give it to the, cast it to the dogs, to give the provision of the children, amen, that had been given to the children, amen, to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know, those dogs, amen, were provided, and as the crumbs came from their master's table, amen. What are you eat? What are you partaking of from the master's table tonight? And then Jesus answered and said to her, woman, great is thy faith. Be unto you even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. You know, she could have gave up in that hour. She could have been weary. She could have fainted. Amen. Amen. Because at that time there was a belief, and at that time he even began, amen, to speak, amen, and began to tell her, you know, there was no way that you could receive, amen, to see her faith, to see what she believed in. But she had made a proclamation that, Lord, you are my master, and I will just even take crumbs from your table that fall from your table. Hallelujah. Jesus departed, verse 29, from thence it came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went into the mountain and sat down there. You know, Sister Gladys brought out the scripture about that men ought to always pray and not faint. And the Bible says that great multitudes came unto him, having with them that were blind, and many others, cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. You know, many came, and they came to the feet of Jesus. Oh, tonight, church, have you ever came to the feet of Jesus? You know, Mary and Martha were at a time, and there was a serving. And even Martha, amen, hallelujah, she had come, and she was serving. She began to ask about the Lord and said, Lord, you know, have my sister come. But, you know, he told her and instructed her that Mary had chose the better part. Amen. Tonight, are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are you learning, amen, about the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and amen, those that were come, they were, and he healed every one of them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. All everyone that came at his feet, amen, were healed and made whole. Tonight, you know, he's the same God. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to know tonight that he's not weary in willing to heal us. He's not weary in willing to make the maimed walk and the lame to walk and the dumb to speak. Hallelujah, and the blind to see. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint. In the way, you know, it could have come to a time, amen. They were in the wilderness. They had been with him for 3 days, amen. Hallelujah. You know, there was a lot of times, amen. That would come even when it talks about in John chapter 11, where it talks about, amen, Lazarus, and at the time, amen, amen. When he came, he said, where have you laid him? He said, Lazarus was sick unto death. Amen. As they come, they said, well, you know, Lazarus did good. And he even spoke of him because they didn't understand what he was saying. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. And he said, I'm glad I was not there as you suppose. And amen, you know, we used to sing a song 4 days late, you know, amen, that even when he's 4 days late, amen, he was on time, amen. And there was a time of resurrection. You know, he had to wait, amen, for the 4th day. The Jews believe that, you know, no one can ever be resurrected on that 4th day. You need to know today there's a resurrection. It's not a resurrection that's afar off. It's a resurrection in the now. And that resurrection is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you be not weary and well-doing tonight and faint, that you shall reap. You shall have the reaping of the resurrection. You shall have a harvest of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he had they had been fasting, they had not ate, they had stayed with him. Amen. Have you stayed with him through the hard times? Have you stayed with him in the walking, in the wilderness? Have you just, you know what? They were just overtaken just to be with him. Oh, church tonight, do you love him enough just to be with him? Do you love him enough to walk with him? Do you love him enough, amen, to just be with him even in the midst of the wilderness? And a disciple saying to him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feel so great a multitude? Where will we get a bread to feel such a great multitude? Oh, he had compassion upon the church tonight. He has compassion on you. How long have you been walking with him? Maybe you haven't ate in a while, but he will feed you. Maybe you haven't come, and you come, and you've been walking with him, and amen. But maybe there's a time of communication. You know what? Just like you said earlier, he said there's a time that to communicate good things. So maybe it's time for you to communicate the good things that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught you. He said Mary has chosen the better part. She had to communicate in him as she sat at his feet. Tonight, will you sit at his feet? Will you be not weary? You know, that was a work, say, man. She began to sit, and she began to learn of him. And the Bible says in his disciples, verse 34, and Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. Church, tonight, what do you have? Do you know that whatever you have will be enough? Because as Jesus Christ begins to bless it, you know, the Bible says, despise not small beginning. Despise not small things. You know, this started out with a cornerstone. This started out with a chief cornerstone. And it went along to the lively stones. And it came in and it grew up to a building. And it's increased into a kingdom. The Bible says, in the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Amen. This is one that sits on the throne tonight. And he wants you to be there with him. Let me ask you tonight, how many loaves do you have tonight? Or if you just have one, that'll be enough. God will bless it. God will multiply it. God will feed. And he said, seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Church, tonight we've been commanded to sit down on the ground with Jesus. We've commanded to be sit down and get ready to sup with him. We've been commanded to sit down before him and let him bless, amen, what we do have. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. He took and gave. He gave thanks. Amen. Oh, again, it says, men ought to always pray and not faint. Tonight, as he come, he didn't give up. He looked around. He took what was set before him, and he gave thanks. Church, tonight, don't give up, but give thanks for what God has set before you. Because it'll be more than enough. It'll be more than enough. Amen. Because the Bible says, oh, did all eat and were filled. And he took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. This started out as seven loaves and the fishes. It started out with seven loaves of fishes. But the Lord blessed it. The Lord gave thanks for it. And as, amen, you know what? The Lord knows how to multiply. He knows how to divide. He knows how to bless. And as he gave his disciples, and his disciples gave in turn, they knew, they did not know that they had more than enough. Church, tonight, you have more than enough. God is not a God that comes up short. He's a God of multiplication and multiplying. And tonight, amen, he would do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. He said, I've come that ye might have life, and that more abundant. He didn't grow weary. And you know what? Oh, he's still sitting on the throne. He's still waiting for that works that he done at the cross of Calvary to continue, because on that day, he sowed unto everlasting life. Not only, but for all those that will come the same way, all those that will receive, all those that have walked with him, all those that will ate with him, all that was eight of the blessing. And the Bible says, and they that did eat were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took the ship and came into the coast of Magdala. No matter how long you've gone, no matter how long you've walked with him in the wilderness, there's divine provision. Tonight, there is a Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will see to your provision, because he will supply your need. The Bible teaches us by the word of God in Philippians, that my God, the Apostle Paul, looked, just like Sister Gladys said, that ministry of, he said, seeing that we have this ministry, just like she said in the book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 1, we faint not tonight. This program is getting ready to end. This time of this broadcast is so getting ready to end, but you know what? We sowed into everlasting life. Be not weary, well doing, for thou shalt reap no faint not. It's been a year. Started out on a half-hour program. God multiplied it and blessed it. whether you have, oh, we have 30 minutes, go to 2 hours, go to 2 hours. Amen. We thought that, you know, God is blessing, continue to magnify, continue to bless. More countries have come, more people have come, more listeners have come. Oh, you know why? Because every Friday night we've been here at 10 to 12. Someone has put their hand to the plow. Someone has came along. Someone has faced adversity. Brother and Sister Green have faced pneumonia and these other things, and Sister Gladys, these other brother, Sister Ewan have faced many things, and these other listeners, brother Eddie, who was on with us, amen, when we first come on, and right after we first came on, amen, he's not able to be on tonight, but you know what, they came and they continued, someone took up the slack, someone stood in the gap, someone made up the hedge, and tonight, this broadcast is in, but his word will not rain. Because tonight after this broadcast, you'll be taking the baskets full. And you'll be taking the baskets full from this broadcast and taking and sowing seed into others' life. You will even be, as it says in Nehemiah 8 and 10, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, take up portions and send portions to them where nothing's prepared. Because tonight you have received whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we faint not, because tonight, this night, is due season. Bless the Lord and give your life, sow your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ and reap everlasting life. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. We know, Brother Yearwood, you just did dial in, and we wanted to inform you. We just have an urgent prayer request. A young girl, she's probably 19 years old. She and her brother Brandon Poff, and her name's Michelle Poff. Brandon is only 15 or 16 years old. They're very young, and they've hit a tree head-on, and they've care flight the 15-year-old boy from one hospital, and across the whole town is the young lady that's 19. They're brother and sister, and they love God dearly. They're wonderful, anointed singers. I believe Brandon maybe even called to be preaching here. Not before long, he was going to, I believe, step out in a calling. And Sister Amanda, she's doing an awesome work with our youth group, and they've been they're in urgent need. And we've prayed, but we're asking you, Brother Yearwood, to pray for them. And my heart is broken right now. It's sad, and we're getting ready after this. Here, we got a minute. Maybe a minute and a half left, and we want you to pray. But go ahead, Brother Yearwood, obey God with this last minute and a half.
Okay. Well, we'll just say that we're sorry for the accident and everything there, but we know the healer. We know the one that got all power in heaven and earth, and we'll just go to the Lord and pray again there for him. And,
yes, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus,
God,
you see these two, God. Father, Lord, we just speak the words, God, of healing. We speak it by faith, God, up on them right now, Lord, that you'll get down in them hospitals, Lord, wherever they're at. And God, that you will take care of them, Father, Lord, that you won't bring them back. Lord, they're going to have a testimony, God, to please you, Father. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Oh, God, in Jesus' name.
Oh, Jesus, lift him up.
In Jesus'
name. Lord,
praise. Hallelujah. Give him a miracle, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, God, we've got 10 seconds. We'll definitely keep you all informed, and probably tomorrow before we won't wake yous up during the night, but we'll let yous know. We'll give yous a call, or we'll post it on Facebook, too, and, you know, with the family will allow us, and we'll let you guys know. We love and appreciate each and every one of you. And until next time, next Friday night at 10, p.m. Eastern Time, and Brother Yearwood on Tuesday nights, Reaching the World for Christ. It's blogtalkradio.com/ Reaching the World for Christ, and that's at 6 on Tuesdays. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Bless you, Sissy.
Good night.